I am thrilled to be backstage with our soloist, Juliet King. Juliet, that was a gorgeous performance. There wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a really fun, romantic, beautiful piece to play.
It does seem to have so many elements of a great romantic violin concerto, from the dramatic opening to the virtuoso passages. Could you explain to our listeners why this piece is called a fantasy and not a concerto?
Well, I think in original editions it was called a concerto, so there's no real difference, but it does flow from one movement to the other fairly smoothly. And I think the way he used these Scottish tunes sort of made it more of a fantasy on those tunes because it is so melodic and it's so incredibly romantic too. So I think that all plays into why it's a fantasy slash concerto.
That seems to be a more romantic title, that's for sure, than concerto. Bruch originally did give it the title Fantasy for Violin and Orchestra and Harp, freely using Scottish folk melodies. Is there anything about playing solo passages with harp in the mix that frees you up to create a different kind of sound on your violin?
It is a really specifically kind of orchestrated piece. And yes, the harp is like a soloist in its own right. And with the low horns, too, it gives it a color that really informs, I think, the violin line, you know, this kind of depth, this dark and often moody kind of tone that I'm trying to get.
So if it didn't have harp and sort of those low horns that you were mentioning, would you try to project in a different kind of way?
I think so. I mean, every piece that we approach, we look at it stylistically and its time in the history of music as well. But if it was a sparkly kind of piece, then I would be going for a higher kind of sound, just a more bright sounding piece. But this one, I think, gives the darkness of it, gives it an atmosphere, a kind of foggy, misty, gloomy character.
Many of the great European composers of the Romantic era were inspired by Scottish poetry and stories, myths, and ballads. Does knowing this influence your interpretation?
Well, I grew up with the piece from a very young age, so that's first and foremost what I remember of it, is like it's one of the pieces from when I was 10. And in addition, I was realizing that I really see this piece as Bruch first, and the Scottish part is fun, and the idea of, you know, Braveheart and Ivanhoe and those kinds of things are in my head. But when you see it as a German romanticism first and foremost, then it really takes me to, his other concerto, which really a performance by Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg with Christoph Eschenbach here about, I think, 10 years ago, was so inspiring that her performance of the Bruch Concerto in G has never left my head. And so I'm really inspired by her kind of making an adventure or journey out of that entire piece. And this piece lends itself to that approach as well.
I was just struck by the way that you phrase these melodies that are very familiar to many concert goers, but I feel like you brought something special and unique to it. How do you come up with this interpretation or your phrasing? Do you sit and think about it away from the violin, or does it come to you as you're playing?
I do like hum the piece through my head I've been doing it for months now. And then when I was young, I listened to that Heifetz recording over and over again. So somewhere that's baked into my DNA. I try not to listen too much to recordings anymore. I want to find my own interpretation, but that's where I come from. So I've got the Heifetz and the Oistrakh recording as well deep in there.
You're usually sitting in the orchestra as first associate concertmaster. What's it like to play as soloist with this ensemble? In what way do you have to change your mindset or your approach when you are standing there, center stage?
Well, I'm lucky that I do get to sit up front anyway, so it's only about 2 feet from where I normally am. But the standing part is different. And having, you know, Yannick as the most inclusive and warmest kind of boss that we call him the boss. He's when I'm playing in the orchestra, he's inspiring. But when I'm playing a solo, it's a whole new level of communication and companionship. So that's really the greatest thrill I could have.
So you actually feel as though you're very much supported when you're on stage.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're, first of all, a very close-knit bunch of people. So when I've got, you know, a horn solo, it's not just a horn solo, it's my buddy playing, you know, it's Jeff. And when, you know, you hear this incredible harp playing, and it's not just incredible week after week, it's Liz. You know, so it is a really different kind. It's like playing with your family at home in your living room.
And it seems like there's great camaraderie amongst you all.
Oh, yes. I think we're very unified. We, you know, one thing that helps a lot is going on tour, as we're, you know, doing fairly soon. And that always brings out more levels of, you know, relationships and fun amongst colleagues.
Getting to know people outside just the concert hall. Outside of your orchestral and solo playing, you're also an avid chamber musician. Why do you love chamber music so much?
Chamber music is really similar, in my opinion, to orchestral music. It's just you find different colors in a smaller subset of instruments, but, you know, playing off each other's lines, giving each other space, trying to support each other at every moment while doing the best with your own single line, or in the case of a pianist, many, many lines, as you can. So it's just a kind of different spin on the same challenge of making music live.
Well, your solo playing is so striking and extraordinary. Do you see a big solo career for Juliet King down the road?
Oh, I actually spent a fair number of years in my teens and 20s pursuing solo opportunities, and I'm very grateful for what I had, and I'm so grateful for what I get on a weekly basis here with the great orchestra.
You're a mom, and your husband, Tom Cranes, is a composer and a wonderful cellist with a busy career. Do you have any advice for young musicians who'd like to pursue a music career at the highest level like you do, and also have a family life?
It is a struggle for anyone, any kind of position, any, you know, set of two working parents. And I have to say that when we were blessed with two children, then I realized it would take a number of years before I would have the time to devote to my job and my position and any outside kind of engagements that I had. So it's, I think, just being aware that there's life past the early childhood stage. Mostly you find different balances at different points in your life, and so you can prioritize that way.
Well, the balance you brought and the joy that you brought to your performance was absolutely thrilling. Thank you so much, Juliet, for spending time with us.
Thank you so much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.